sing this out. This is our story. Sing it together. Come on.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. But you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was born.
Good morning, church. God is good. All the time. All right. Let's stand on up this morning. We worship God together. Get our hearts in line.
Over.
This is a song with a lot of crowd participation. All you guys sing with me and Jack. All you girls sing with Jill and Michelle. It's an old song. I know it's old school. But, you know, if you guys have been around a while, worship for enough, long enough, you'll know it.
So. If you haven't been, it's new school.
It's new school, right. As old as new. You are holy, Prince of Peace. Ready? Let's go.
Condemned unworthy,
sins.
He took my sins and my sorrows.
He made them his very own.
And he bore the burden to Calvary
and suffered.
Father, we just praise you for your presence here as it has gotten us through another week, and we thank you for this awesome weather, God, that we love, but we're not satisfied. We probably want snow now, but whatever it is, God, we just want to bask in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, the one who gave his life upon a cross to save my sin and everybody else here in this world. So God, right now, as we collectively hear what you have to say to us and we come together and worship, may it not just stay here, but may it be lived out in each area of our lives. We give you praise for this in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says amen. All right, for those of you who are remaining, greet one another, and the rest of you, go ahead and you can go to Sunday school. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're glad that you're here. Welcome to Haven Community Church. If you're visiting with us, I want to thank you for attending. If you're part of church online, welcome. We're glad that you're part of our church online ministry. We have a number of things that we want to go over, and I want to share with you. But first of all, if you're visiting, hopefully you received the card that we can thank you for being here. We have a small gift, and we want you to just relax and enjoy the worship here today. There's a couple other things that we want to look on, some time sensitive. I want to challenge you to look over all our outreach opportunities. We have a lot of different things in there, and so we want to go ahead and want you to go ahead and look at those in the bulletin that are there. And if you have any questions, you can connect with some of our host team, welcoming team, and they'll help you get other information. There is a meeting after church for Grief Share, those who are helping with that. You see, some of you have one, and others of you have multiple production inserts. We really wanted to make sure that you saw this. We've been blessed with a production team from the beginning, but we also recognize that we want to give them the opportunity to go ahead and not have to think during worship, but also go ahead. And we recognize others are very gifted and might want to plug into some of our production, which allows for our online ministry, which allows for the screens, which allows for the sound without squealing. If you're interested in part of that, there will be a training and some information. Please connect there as well. Also, it's time to register for VBS. Out here, Shipwrecked, you can see July 23rd through the 27th, and you can also register online. You can look at the back of the production thing. There's information about emergency responder baskets that our Footprints team are doing. Several youth ministries that are going on. We're excited for that. The Haiti chain is in the back there. As you can see, we have 146 miles to go, so we're thankful for that. We also want to keep Haiti in your prayers. As some of you may have seen some of the news, there's been some things going on there. So we want to go ahead, basically because of governmental increase in gas, and that affects the poorest of the poor. So we want to go ahead and be praying for Haiti and our brothers and sisters in the church there and for our up-and-coming mission trip. All right. And Friday also there is a bingo right here that is sponsored to benefit the Haiti trip, etc. Okay? So if there for the other announcements, please check them out. And again, if you have any questions, see a member of our host team, they'll make sure that they get you to the right place. For our prayers today, we have prayers for from Joanne, from Mike Handy and the Handy family at the loss of their mother. Terry has asked for prayers for Joyce Norden, who is in hospice and awaiting to be with the Lord, and pray for peace for her family. June has asked for traveling mercies for Patty Miller on vacation, and prayers for Debbie Day's grandson, Sully, has kidney problems and needs surgery. He's 11 years old. And Bill, prayers for Donna. She has surgery tomorrow, so we want to lift Donna in prayers as well. Okay. We want to keep our brothers and sisters in Haiti and everything else there in prayers, and also keep the community, the larger community, as we know that very tragic accident that happened on Route 1 this past week, where everybody in the family died but the mother. And so we want to continue to lift them in prayers. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Again, Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we're so grateful. As we celebrated last week, to live in this country where we don't have to worry about certain things, and we're just so blessed. So today, God, as we come here, we want to just take time to thank you for calling us to be a witness and a testimony. And so, God, as we look at the many needs and the ministries, I ask for your Holy Spirit to just be upon each of these ministries and areas that we serve. There's so much going on, and that's great. Often in many churches, not much is going on. But in this case, God, you've called us to do your ministry here and around to the ends of the earth. We are actually answering that great commission with you. And so, God, there are others who have prayer concerns and needs, for those who have loss and tragedy, for those who are facing that final life's journey, and for others who are looking at surgeries and other kinds of ailments. God, just minister your healing, the healing from the great physician, to them. For the rest of us, God, as we take time here to give back to you through the many financial blessings we received, and as others have given of their time and their talents, God, we just are in awe of the fact that you have called us into this ministry together. It is called the Great Commission, meaning that it's not the great mission for us to do, but that we are together with you and with the power of your Holy Spirit to change this world for the betterment, so that people can see that you are Jesus. And you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So, Lord, bind us together wherever we come from. Make us one heart, one mind, that we can serve this world and each other. Send your Holy Spirit upon the gifts that the giver gives, whether it's here, whether it's online, whatever it may be, God. Use your Holy Spirit to multiply these gifts so that we can meet the many needs that you've called us to do. So that in all this, God, we don't do this for a pat on the back, but we do it so that the world can say, wow, there is a God, and he loves me. And I will serve you, Jesus, and we give you praise for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation. Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. And what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no right. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. Powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Good morning. This morning reading is from Matthew 4:18-19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The word of our Lord.
That gets you pumped up, huh? All right, so good. Good to have everybody here today. Welcome again. We are here at the start of a new series. Our new series called Get Fishing. Everybody say Get Fishing. Get Fishing. Get Fishing, yeah. So how many, you guys like fishing? Anybody like fishing? Fishing's fun. Okay, good. I'm going to get, today in this message, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. You can see that if you have your bulletin open. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture just to build a foundation. And then we're going to have three messages in the series, one that builds upon the other. Now, where we are in the context of this, we are in the context of Jesus' earthly ministry, and it's just getting started. He's been baptized. He's just getting ready to roll. Most of these disciples at the time had followed John the Baptist. That doesn't mean that he was a Baptist. For anybody who was raised Baptist and was told that, no, it's not like he wasn't John the Catholic or John the Methodist. It's just that what he was. He was John the Baptizer. That's what he was. So everybody got it? Okay, so it's okay. It's okay if I just ruined years of Baptist upbringing. Sorry, but that's my job. But he was starting off, and he's walking upon the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, still to this day, is the largest source of fresh water for Israel, modern-day Israel, was then. Many people made a living. They still do off of fishing and other kinds of things that are there. And this is kind of like where Jesus hung out and made it his ministry. It was the area you would go from one side. Even today, to get in a powerboat from one side to the other, it takes about 45 to 50 minutes. So it's a very, very big, it's more like a lake, but you do have the Sea of Galilee that pours into it. So as we look here, here's what we have. So Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and it says, and Jesus, doing what? Walking by the Sea of Galilee. There we go. Saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting their net into the sea. And because Matthew is an accountant, anybody know people who are accountants? They like to all to equal out, right? So he wants to make sure you know this. They're casting their nets into the sea because they were what? Fishermen. Okay, so he's just stating the obvious. You probably knew that already. And Jesus says to these who were going to become his first disciples, and to us, and disciples are basically Christ followers, he says to them, "Follow me and I will make you." Stop right here, okay? Now, many of you know the rest of this, right? Some of you may not know the rest of this, but let's take a look here. Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you." Now, if we could put some things in there, we might say, "I can make you holy." That would be something that's good. I can make you better. I can make you, how many would like it if Jesus said, "Hey, I can make you wealthy"? I mean, there's a whole theology out there that says if you do this, then Jesus will do that. I believe it's faulty and wrong. But if he said, "I could make you wealthy," what if he said, "I could make you strong"? I can make you healthy. I can make you knowledgeable. How many of you have ever said, "Man, I wish I knew the Bible better. I wish God would just give me this, like, boom, I'll make you know more"? Because if you follow somebody and they're teaching, then you should be able to know more. What if he said, "I can make you more spiritual"? What if I can make you more spiritual? Or I can make you a better father or a husband and wife, what have you, or mother, a better sister, a better child. How many of you would like that? I would say that'd be pretty good. Now, Jesus may touch in one or all of these areas, and may offer these things, but that's not the main thing he said when he says, here's what I am offering for you. What he primarily offers is this. When he says this, here we go. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, they were used to fishing for fish. And as you read the gospel, they weren't too good at it. Anybody recognize they're not very good at it? They never catch anything without the help of Jesus. So when Jesus came, they were like, woohoo, let's keep this, hang out with this guy. He makes our business better. And back then, fishing was not like, you know. They would take a net that had weights, and they'd throw it. And it would go, and it came like a jellyfish down in the water. And then they'd pull it, and it would sink everything else that you would have in there. It's pretty cool how they did that. And then they would get something. They did that. We learned that the disciples did that all night. Now, I don't know about you. I like fishing like this, but if anybody ever gone crabbing, this is Maryland, right? And you go crabbing, and you do everything, you set out the pots, and then you come back and there's nothing there. Isn't that frustrating for you? Imagine if you had to make a living off of it like many people do. It wouldn't be very, very fun if that's what happened. So basically what Jesus is saying is, you've been catching fish, and the same techniques that you know from catching fish, I'm going to have you use to get a hold of people. I'm going to have you get a hold of people. And so we see this kind of thing in the same story. Look at how Luke phrases it. Luke phrases this, the same account, the same story. From now on, you will catch men, or you're going to catch people. That's what you're going to do. So this is something that, just the first thing Jesus really says there. Hey, follow me, and I'll have you catch some people. And I want you to look at this. So when we look at this, we look at this topic, and I started thinking about this series. When we look at this topic, which is about sharing our faith, or dare I say the E word, evangelism, we get a little bit nervous because you all are afraid that I'm going to give you a track that has a Haven logo on it and make you go door to door and knock on the door and say, do you know Jesus? You know, you're afraid I'm going to go ahead and say something like that. Or you're going to have to stand out on the street corner of the grocery store and yell, turn or burn, turn or burn, the end is near, right? Anybody ever seen that? Don't you think that? Or at worst, you think I'm going to put you on TV with a nice smile and a slick back hair and go, hello, give me money, right? This is what we think, don't we? Isn't this how we think anymore when we hear about evangelism? And so in this series, what I want to do is today I want to show you why it's so important. And then next week, I'm never going to ask you to do anything that I'm not going to give you tools to show you how. I want to show you how, and how there is a greatness in the middle of this evangelism, the sharing your faith, that is a tremendous joy that God gives to us in the middle. And then I'm going to give you some responses that occur. Now, I know some of you right now are saying, okay, all right, Jesus. Me and Jesus are cool. I just like to keep it to myself. It's good. I got Jesus right here. And you may say, I'm good, all right? Jack, don't be telling me to do this stuff. I'm not going to listen. I got it right here. Then there's others of you who say, I just don't know enough. And you know, what's going to happen is I'm going to start sharing and somebody's going to know more and I might convert to what they have because I just don't know enough. And so I'm going to help you here. I'm going to help you here. And you know, what it basically is followers of Jesus need to get fishing. Followers get fishing. That's what we do. That's how you know that happened. It's what we do. It's part of us. And a lot of times we have excuses. Anybody have children? Anybody have children that have excuses? Anybody ever had a good excuse for something? I think I remember when I was in like second or third grade that somebody didn't hand in their homework and their excuse was my little brother ate my homework. And I thought that was just, give him bonus points for the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard. But you know, I heard this story one time about a sergeant who got to the military base after a weekend of vacation for all his platoon, and none of the soldiers made it on time. Those of you who've been in the military said, uh-oh. That's not good. None of them made it on time, and it actually took 3 hours before they started to show up. He was about ready to explode with rage. And so he decided to summon and call each one of those soldiers in, each one in, one by one. So he called the first soldier in, and he said, well, what's your excuse for not showing up on time? He said, sir, I'm really sorry. You see, I was late for the bus, and I had to hitchhike. And as I was hitchhiking, an old man came by, and he had a horse and a buggy. And he said, excuse me, soldier, would you like a ride? And I thought, well, it was so polite and such a nice offer that I really couldn't turn it down. So I figured it would be and polite, so I got in, and that's why I'm running late. The sergeant said, well, you know, I can understand. Okay, a little bit. All right, I'll give you this one, but no more. So he went and called the second person in. Second person said, Sergeant, I'm really sorry, but you see, I was late for the bus. And as I was on my way here, an older lady pulled up with a horse and a buggy. And she said, excuse me, soldier, would you like a ride? And I knew that it might be a little bit slower, but I said, I didn't want to disrespect her because of the nice offer. So I got in and I rode, and that's why I'm late, because the buggy was so slow. One after the other, he called in the same story. There was a buggy. A person invited them in. They didn't want to be rude. One after the other after the other. He finally got to the last soldier, and the sergeant said, well, I suppose you're late because you hitchhiked. And he said, yes, sir. He said, and I suppose it was a buggy. He said, no, sir. It was a 2018 BMW. He said, what? Yes, it was a 2000 BMW. He said, then why are you so late? He said, well, sir, we were making good time, but we got stuck behind a whole bunch of horses and buggies. Excuses, right? We all have them. We are all good at them. And many of us have, as I started with this message, have already started with our excuses, haven't we? The reasons we can't share. And I want to share with you some of these reasons that we have some of these excuses. Number one, we may start this way. We did not know, we have this excuse we're not wanting to share because we did not know that we were supposed to fish. You know, and what I hopefully have made a point already, and I intend to do the rest of this series and today, is to say that followers fish. Followers go ahead and do it. This is what they do. They get fishing. The second one may be this. We may say, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to fish. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know where to start. Do I grab a Bible? Do I say churchy things? How do I do this? And that might be one. You know, next week I'm going to touch on this more. And next week we're going to deal with a Bible verse that really tells us that we need to be prepared anytime to be able to share for the hope that we stand in Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that you have to be the deepest theologian in the world. Just means you need to know your story and you need to know why. And probably the last one is maybe the biggest one, that, and it's because it's emotional, we may be afraid to fish. Have you ever gone fishing with somebody who won't pull out the worm and put on the hook? And when they catch the fish, they're like, ah! And they don't want to put it on they don't want to grab it off the hook, right? Some of us are like that when it comes to fishing for men and women, and fishing for people as Jesus calls us to. We're like, ah, no, keep it there. I got the pole here, but there you go. Let somebody else take it off, right? So that's how we feel. We don't want to be one of them. Let me take you back to the E word, the evangelist. Some of you picture the white suit, red face, slick back hair, or you may picture tons of makeup and the hair that's as high as the ceiling, right? Some people, as I said, may hear people saying, turn or burn or come dangle you over the fires of hell. In Jesus' name, right? Some of us may have that, and we're real loud. Real loud. When I started trying to think of some of these early, what do I think of when evangelists come to mind? I was taken back to my time at West Virginia University, and there's an area out there called the Island. I think they've changed it around a little bit, but there was an area near the Mount Lair and Ogilby Hall that was in this section. And I remember there's this guy named, anybody ever heard the name of, got the nickname Holy Hubert? Anybody heard of Holy Hubert? Holy Hubert Lindsay? He was the grandfather of campus preaching. And he fit any mold you have for these type of evangelists. That was him. He carried this big Bible, and he would stand outside of college campuses and just tell them all they were going to bust hell wide open. And just would talk to them all the time. And you're all gonna infidels. You're all blah blah blah. And he would just yell at people all the time. And he had these other two that kind of tag teamed with him when he would get tired, because students gather. It's kind of like when you have a fight. What do people do? They gather. When you have somebody saying stuff, whether it makes sense or not, people gather. And college students love to gather. Am I right? Anybody been to college? They just love to gather for things. And so here you're outside. He's saying this, and often they would heckle him. And when he would get tired, he'd tag team, and he had another person named Brother Jed, Jed Smock, and his wife, Sister Cindy. I'm not making this up. Okay, Sister Cindy. And Sister Cindy was very tall. She was about 6 foot one or two. And she would wear dresses buttoned up. And she would carry a Bible with her. And she wouldn't even look at people. She'd walk back and say, "You're all murderers and you're all thieves and you're all liars and infidels. And you're all going to bust hell wide open." And she'd go through all this. And she would tag team in this part. And she had this kind of tagline that she would say. And she said, she'd go, "Because you're all going to burn in the lake of fire." And it got so that when she'd say this after every tagline, college students around, and she'd say, "And you're going to burn with," and everybody, "the lake of," and everybody go, "Fire!" You know. And as you saw this, as a Christian, maybe not the best practicing Christian at the time, but in seeing this, I'm thinking, this is not good. This ain't good. Now, hear me. I'm sure in their life that they meant well and they reached somebody. I'm not going to disagree with that at all. But what I am saying is, I'm looking here and I'm hearing the stuff from the crowd. I'm thinking, this is not good. Fire, right? You know? And so this is what happened. And so we get this opinion in our mind and that this is what God is calling us to do. And what I want you to do right now, for those of you who are Christians and accepted Jesus, I want you to think in your mind of that person who connected you to Christ. And when you think of that person, they probably weren't someone who said, "Lake of fire!" You know, they probably weren't doing that. They were probably someone who was loving, someone who shared, maybe was prayerful. They might have given you truth, but somehow there was some grace in there. And if several of you are people, you had somebody who planted a seed, somebody who watered that in you, and somebody who helped bring that to complete fruition. Like, for instance, when you fish, if I said, "Hey, we're going to go fishing today," and we get to the down here on the Elk River, we go on a boat, and I light up a stick of dynamite and go, boom, and like, collect them, there we go, all right? Many of us have that approach to fishing for people in the Christian faith. We want to hit them with dynamite and blow them up. "We're going to get you in here where it kills you, and we're going to drag you in." Right? Anybody ever been in those situations? And often that's caused, you know, if you throw something in the water, what do fish do? They scatter. But if you lure them in with something that is appealing to them, that touches their heart, and we're going to talk about this next week more so, you begin to see that you catch them. Right? Everybody with me? We got to stop fishing with dynamite is what I'm saying here. We got to go on. So we need that lure that is attractive. I've just was thinking in my life, as many of you know, I shared when I accepted Christ at the age of 5. But just to let you know, from the age to 5 to now, it hadn't all been like a smooth road. Like, me and Jesus are cool and we're riding along and everything's awesome and I'm just holy and I wear a halo. I just have it being washed today or something. You know, That's not my life. I've had ups and downs, and in each of those, I recognized there were certain people. I shared with you many months ago, maybe a year ago, about a man named Dave Staples who came to a youth weekend. And we had fun, everything, because I'm going to go. Number one, I was going to go because I was a PK, and I went to everything, a preacher's kid. Even when I was too young to go, I got drug along. But, you know, I realized I could always get my friends to go to tell them, "Hey, there's girls there." You know, and you know, you tell them, "Hey, why don't you come to this church thing?" "Church thing? I don't think so." "Hey, there's going to be all these girls there. You know that one girl? She's going to be there." "I'm coming," right? You know, they show up. And so, you know, that was their lure, and it was mine too. That's what kept me there, just to let you know. So God will use that for people to do. That's to get you there. So what we see here is, what I remembered is Dave just sat one night, and he just began to play a guitar. And as that began to happen, the Spirit of God began to move, and I began to refocus my life on Christ. Again, it wasn't perfect from there all the way through, but the cool thing was that he was very present and was there and created an environment that I began to think of when I look at this. You see, when I accepted Jesus at age 5, there was somebody that the person that I share with you who started with the chalk drawing and stuff back in the 70s, He didn't dangle me over the fire's hell. There is truth. Remember last week I talked about truth? There's truth in that. But he led me with grace and realized that there was something missing in my life and began to show that when there was something missing, there was something I needed there. Dave Staples began to shape and say that you have a calling and a purpose for God, and I wanted to find that out. And there have been several other people in my life. When I was at college and going through a rough time and just had no clue where the direction was going to go tomorrow, there was my friend Paul who I called. And who was we did everything together, the good, the bad, the ugly. But yet we were brothers in Christ and we grew up. As a matter of fact, Paul is one of our board of directors here at our church because I wanted someone who was a spiritual person who loves the Lord but also loves me and knows when to encourage me and strengthen me as well. And as we see that playing out in this, I realized that in my life, where would I be without my parents, without Dave Staples, without that man who I still don't know to this day who that chalk drawing artist is. But what I do know is that it was not done with dynamite and getting me barbecued in order to get me into heaven. And so what I want to do is share some reasons for the remainder of the service why we need to share our faith. And so let's start with some of these. Okay, everybody good? Here we go. Number one, fishing is fun. Fishing is fun. I like fishing. I haven't been, you know, doing this series, I haven't been in a while, and I'm upset because I enjoy it. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy deep sea fishing. One time in one of my first churches, these two guys that were in the church took their company fishing for a day. And it was a really choppy day, very choppy day. And just to know, if you don't have your sea legs on you and your sea stomach, it ain't a good thing. You don't go ahead and stop and get a breakfast sandwich or two before you go out, just to let you know. And all I know is that at Christmas party, they gave me a jacket and said I'm the only person they know that can chum and fish at the same time. You figured that one out. So, but it's still fun. I enjoy it. I remember my friends, we would go through the woods, and we would go ahead and there would be this little channel, and we would go ahead and we would cast into this little channel and bring out big channel catfish. And we would put the drag out so we'd have a better fight and we would have fun. And then we'd have an eel. Anybody catch an eel? Nothing's good about that. But still, you had fun. You could relax. You could shut out the world and just cast out there and boom. Anybody with me who's gone fishing? Has anybody gone fishing regularly lately? Okay, so some people have. It's fun. It's really, really fun. And you got to stop the world. You can turn off the phones. You can do all that kind of stuff. And you enjoy fishing. But fishing for people is not scary. It's one of the greatest experiences, I think, that you can have, and I wish for you in your Christian faith. There's not many thrills in Christianity more than when somebody is caught, than you're instrumental in catching somebody for Jesus Christ. We definitely want it for that person. We want that person so that they come to know Jesus Christ. But more importantly, that's the most important thing, but something that's really important, you feel awesome when you help lead somebody to Jesus Christ. It is one of the greatest experiences I've ever experienced in my life. Because here's the reality. The reality is heaven and hell are real. That's truth. Okay, I'm not going to dangle it over them, but heaven and hell are real. I had a newest speaker used to say, you need to find out where your reservations for eternity are, smoking or non-smoking. So, and he would say in a humorous way, but heaven and hell are real. And so we need to share that. In Luke chapter 15, we're told something that's really awesome. Look at this. This is really good. Everybody look here. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. What does that mean? That means when one person turns away and turns to Christ, they throw a party in heaven. Now, how many of you like parties? Anybody like parties? Anybody combine fishing and partying? That's a great combination, right? Okay? So here they are. He's like, hey, you caught one. How many have ever caught something? How many have caught like a big fish? Something really big. What's the biggest? 50 pounds. Anybody else? Huh? Not that big? 46, 40. That's a fight, right? You get it in. What do you go? Woo! Yeah. You hold it up. You're like this. You know, we're not going to go ahead and snatch people up and go, woo, look at this. You know, but one of the things that, what heaven is, heaven's like, woo, look, yeah, yeah, buddy, got the big one, yeah, right? We go crazy over fish, and that's what all of heaven does. It's like this. If you knew the cure to cancer or AIDS and you had it, you would be so excited, wouldn't you?
but how demented and how horrific you would be if you kept it all to yourself. You see, we have the cure for eternal death. His name is Jesus. And if we keep it all to ourselves, we are crueler than people who have the cure to cancer or AIDS and keep it to themselves. We have the cure to the hopelessness of this world. It's not a chore, but it's fun. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us this. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. When you reconcile something, you make it to zero, right? If you reconcile your bank account, you do that. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the word to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. What are we saying here? We are saying that that God brought our sin to zero. Everybody, we should be glad about that, right? Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. There you go. Because he's not counting our stuff against us. He reconciled us. He zeroed out our account. We owed him. He zeroed it out. And then he said, guess what? I need you guys to help others zero out their account so that when they come to me, that this is the ministry that I'm giving to you, that their account is zeroed out and I won't hold it against them. That's awesome. That's a lot more awesome than you're responding right now, okay? Just to let you know. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we have to have the message to give to people so they know we therefore are Christ's ambassadors. What do ambassadors do? You guys don't know, okay? Not history people. They go on behalf of a nation or somebody and speak for them. That is our job. Christ gave us, zeroed out our account, then said, I want you to tell people that I want to do that with them. And that's what we are to do. And then it says, we are Christ's ambassadors. And making that appeal, we implore you. Look at that. So we implore you, we beg you. This is our message. Be reconciled to God. Let God zero it out. I know life is tough. I know that it's rough. I know that you've done bad stuff. I've always loved when people say, if I came into church, the ceiling would came in. I said, good, I like the sky. Come on in. Because guess what? When you're reconciled to Christ, he zeroes all that stuff out. The world may not. The world may remind you of who you were, but you can remind them of whose you are when you come to Christ. That's our message that we need to get out and we need to have out throughout this world. We implore you. This is God's plan A, and guess what? There is no plan B. So that's number one, fishing is fun. Everybody say fishing's fun. All right, number two, fishing is essential. Fishing is essential. Now, this is probably our most theological because we go back to this whole kind of idea that heaven and hell are real. And here's the thing. This is based in how well the church universal does. This is how well that the church has this message. It's not an option. It's necessary. We have to share this ministry of reconciliation. Look at what it says here in Romans. In Romans chapter 10. For everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But, everybody say but. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard from them? Good question, right? So in other words, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I get saved. But how am I going to know unless I'm told? And how am I going to believe unless I know? Next slide, here we go. And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? What we have here is, how can anyone hear unless someone tells them? That's you all. That's the priesthood of all believers. That's anybody who has received the reconciliation from Christ, that we must go and share that. And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent, without a pastor like me doing a sermon series on fishing for people? Everybody get it? Get it? That's why here in Isaiah, it concludes with this section from Isaiah. Next slide, here we go. And it says this. That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Look at the person next to you and say, man, you got some good. No, don't do that. That's disgusting. Feet are disgusting. But beautiful feet. In other words, what they're saying is, wow, man, look at that. They're bringing that that stuff. I don't like feet anyway, so I think we should have casters. But you understand what I'm saying here? That when you see somebody who's bringing that good news of Jesus Christ, that's how we get it. That's how we understand it. We are all who have accepted Christ had somebody with beautiful feet talking to us about the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, this is some theology because God chose for all of us. He wants all of us to not perish. He doesn't want us to be in hell. God is sovereign, and he knows. And some of you may say, oh, well, Jack, God's already got this figured out. You may come from a theology that says, I'm just lucky because I'm picked by God, and I don't believe that is, I believe that's faulty. I believe that God is not showing love in the fact that he picks some to die and some not to for eternal damnation. I believe he knows the choices. We can look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:9 really tells us this here. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. His promise for what? Returning again, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but how many? Everyone to come to repentance. So what's happening is when God's ready to send Jesus, Jesus is saying, come on, one more. Let me get one more. One more is going to share. I know today that Jack's going to share with one more person. I just want one more. I'm not slow as they think, God, but I just want one more. Just one more. I don't want one more to perish. I want one more. Come on, just one more. Just one more. That's the great love God has for you. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. That goes back to, for God so loved the world. That's the nature of our Father. He wants us all to come to repentance. All right? Okay. So, next one. Here we go. So, it's fun. It's necessary. Here's one. Jesus calls us to go fishing. He calls, you ever had that friend that or that person in your life that when they call you and they say, hey, let's go, you go? You just have to. Okay? When you call Jesus Lord, want to give you a hint? You got to. All right? So, he called us to go fishing. He paid our bills, so therefore we owe him. Am I right? So Jesus' calling is great. Look at this. We talk about the Great Commission. It was read for us today. Look at these words. It says, therefore, and do what? What's that little word? Go. It doesn't say gather. We like to gather together. It says, therefore, go. Go. We are to gather so that we can go out. That's the first one. Go, and you know the rest of that. Many of you may. If not, you can look at that this week. It is in every one of the four Gospels. This at the end of it. Look at what it says in Mark. And it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, go, and I'm going to be with you as you go. Next one here. Let's look at this one. I think this is Mark 16:15. It says this. He said to them, go into all the world. What does it say? Go and preach the gospel to all creation. Then we go here. Luke 24:47. Here's Luke. With my authority, take this message of repentance to the nations. Guess what? Take this means go. It means go. Then you go, John. John says this, according to Jesus. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It even continues in the book of Acts. The last thing Jesus says is this, but you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. Why? So that you can worship awesome on Sunday, so that you can have great Bible studies, so that you can do great great study and individual praise and worship on your own. No, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. All that is action and going. I can't fish for fish from my living room unless I'm lame and doing it in my goldfish tank, right? I need to get out to where the fish are. Everybody with me? And you don't get to where fish are by hanging out with other people who aren't fish. Everybody with me? You need to be in the world, not of it. We all do. We need to engage and go fishing. In order to go fishing, if I said, hey, let's go fishing today, and I took you in the bathroom here, and we had poles in the toilet, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. It's water, but there ain't no fish there. But if I took you down to the river and put you on a boat, you'd be like, let's get them. We need to be where the fish are, where the people are in our world. All right? That's why we do what we do at this church. That's why we serve. That's why we do things in the community. That's why we reach out. That's why we go to Haiti. That's why we do this thing. We don't have to go to Haiti. It's not about me feeling good. Believe me, for that week, I don't feel good physically. But it's about we are answering the call that God has called us to go. Last one. Everybody good? And this is probably some of the most emotional, powerful ones. At one time, we were all fish. Look at the person next to you and go. There you go. We were all fish at one point. I thank God for that chalk drawing artist. I thank God for Dave Staples. I thank God for my friend Paul. I thank God for all those people. I want you to think right now to that person who, think of the people who maybe planted the seed or the person that used the lure. Use that lure that connected you. What was the thing that connected you? And we're going to talk more about that next week. See, when we think about that, I think about Dave, who just didn't preach at us, didn't dangle us over the fires of hell. All he did was sit in front, mention a couple words that I can't even tell you what he did, but began to play a guitar. Just began to play a guitar. And one by one, young people in that room, one of them which was my friend Paul, and that was the first time we ever met, that began to, the Holy Spirit began to move in a way that was powerful. Through my life, I have had some very, very low points, some of the lowest points that there have ever been. I've dealt with depression, and I know that's hard for people to believe because I always seem like a happy guy, but sometimes some of the happiest, anybody remember the Smokey Robinson song, Tears of a Clown? Sometimes that is where you are in life. And yet in each of those points, I've been blessed to have someone that used the Lord to help me get back to Jesus and get to where I need to be. So why do we keep reaching out for lost people and casting? Because God never stopped reaching out for me. People never stopped fishing or casting for me. I can think of a lady named Ellie Quick when I was working and I was put this ministry thing on side. I can think of her every Sunday coming up to me when I did not feel like ministry at all or didn't feel like doing anything, didn't want anything about God, just wanted to hide. Her saying, come here, you need to pray for them. She started calling me Pastor Jack, and I said, no, that's Dad. But she kept casting the lure. She said, hey, I want you to come to a Bible study. I said, okay, I can come to a Bible study. And then slowly she began to kick it to me. Why don't you leave this one, Jack? I'm like, no, I'm good. No, you're not. No, I think you'd be good for this. People never stop casting and fishing for me. People never stop casting and praying and fishing for you. So we will never stop casting, praying, or fishing for those out there as long as I'm the pastor and have life in my breath. 2 Corinthians tells us this. For Christ's love compels us. What are you compelled by? It compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. Christ's love compels us. It compels me to say, I'm going to keep giving the message of Jesus Christ because Jesus died for all. And oh, there may be one more. There may be one more. There may be one more. What's our takeaway today? Simply this. To follow Jesus, you have to get fishing. You have to get fishing. Let's stand and let's pray. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us right now? I believe that for those of us who have come to a relationship with you, that God, we right now are looking to that one or two main people in our lives, the ones that never stop putting the lure there, never stop fishing, never stop praying, never stopped loving us, never stopped encouraging us. What are you saying to us now? Are you saying, all right, God, I'm going to get fishing. I'm going to follow and I'm going to get fishing. That we may do anything short of sin to get somebody. to you. There may be some here who say, I'm a religious person, but I'm not a follower. I'm spiritual, but I'm not a follower. There may be those of us who, the church may say that we're lost, but we just don't know where we are headed in life. Some of us may have accepted Jesus a long time ago, but somehow our path has gotten off. For some of us, our life may be falling apart. Some of us just feel like the floods of life are around us. So today, hear the message of reconciliation. Jesus wants to zero all that stuff out. Doesn't care what it is. Going to zero it out. Because he's telling his Father today, there's one more. He's right there. His life's falling apart. Their marriage is about ready to break up. And they're done. And God, just let them hear. Let me zero it out. Just one more. Somebody who's made horrible choices this past week. And just one more. Here I am. God, we are here. May we seek the one who gave his life for us, died upon a cross, that we may have life, who said, hey, said to those early disciples, follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus wants you to do. And the disciples, we know a lot from them. They weren't the best people to make your life on early on. But God, the first thing they did is they dropped their nets and followed you. I pray that whatever we have in our life that we're juggling and that's got us caught up, that we may just drop it and follow you. If we've never opened up our hearts and our lives to you, Jesus, to see you who you are, that we're here for this point, and right now you're speaking to us. And there's a line in the water, and you're saying to us, follow me. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to know that there is a Savior, that we've messed it up, and there's a Savior. And he wants to zero it out and wants to love you. Wants to form this relationship with you and have you be who he created you to be. So God, move in this room. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, before we get into this last song, let's there's an offering that we do. We hold our hands out, or hold them up. How do you want to do it? Let's hold our hands out for a second like this. Let's pretend it's a big fish. You know, 50 pounds, whatever it is, you know, but it's also an offering to our Lord God. You know, we seldom do this in churches. You know, I know we make jokes about it. We say, you know, we do the window wash and all that other stuff. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you think it is. What it is it's an offering to God. And we're offering our heart today, Lord. That's what we're offering. You know, it can be a fish, whatever you think it is, you know. But you know what? It's just, let's hold our hands out just like this for a little while. You know, if you feel embarrassed by it, you know, put them down. I don't care. But don't, we're not embarrassed by you, Christ. We're not embarrassed by Jesus in this church. Let's just sing the song together. Loud and clear this morning as we go out in the world and fish. Fish for you, Lord.
More than words can say, I need you more. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence.
We need him, right? We need him. All right. So hopefully this is a good start. Today was more kind of why, right? Everybody say why. Why? Okay. So bring your tackle box next week. And the next week we're going to talk about fishwise. I'm going to give you tools. Have a great week in Jesus. And may you go out. Everybody do this. Go bring back that one. All right. Have a good one.